Good morning and happy opening day. Welcome into the Blitz. Live in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, live on Fan Runner Radio on this Thursday morning. Charlie Collier, Sam Beard, here with you for the next 2 hours, getting you to your lunch break and getting you within an hour of first pitch of the 2023 MLB season. Man, it is a good day.
One of those days you just wake up and feel like a kid again a little bit.
Hope springs eternal on opening day. I was telling Nate as I was walking in, you know, today, good chance it's the last time that I get to watch the Nationals play baseball in 2023, not below 500.
Right. Big
so
day.
I mean, it's a big day.
Big day. Big day.
Big day. Sorry for the late start again. We'll be back on track now. I got my truck back this morning.
There we go. New transmission?
New transmission.
Okay, so you're not selling the truck.
Not selling the truck. Got the new transmission.
There we go.
Got it back this morning, but the printer wasn't working, so I was there for a little bit as we fixed the printer to get all my, receipts and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, opening day. We're here.
Kind of crazy. Kind of feels like baseball season snuck up on us. I feel like you probably say that every single year on opening day. But, like, I don't know. It feels like more than this, more than
maybe,
years past,
know.
It feels like it snuck up on us.
I see. I feel ready.
I'm ready.
But, like, this year I've been watching opening day. Or, I mean, not opening day. I've been watching, like, more spring training than usual. I've been playing a lot of MLB The Show. I've been reading a lot of articles. I've really, in the last, like, 2 weeks, started to ramp up for baseball season. That's when I, about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, I started watching spring training games almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, really getting in, diving into all the different previews and rosters. And, you know, I had a fantasy baseball draft, and MLB The Show came out, and, like, the World Baseball Classic. I was super into that. So, like, I think all of that combined, I'm ready. I don't feel like it snuck up on me this year.
Perfect.
Yeah. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty well, pretty well. I'm excited for opening day. Yeah, I mean, it's just planning on doing a little grill out, I think, later for some opening day. Got some burgers and dogs
grilling
yesterday.
Out?
Yeah, I mean, can't beat it, right?
You're going to grill out. That's the question, though. Are you going to grill out for your team's game, or are you going to grill out tonight?
I think I'm going to grill out tonight. Mm. I'm just going to eat lunch for my team's game.
I wanted to grill, but I don't think I have time.
Yeah.
I don't think I have time to get what I need and grill it before 1 o'clock.
Yeah, you probably don't, given that you're going to have like 55 minutes before
before it
all starts.
Yeah, so I don't think I'm going to be able to. But very excited for opening day. Oh, no. Alberto Mondesi just got put on the 60-day IL.
He's not good anyway.
Hey, he's on my fantasy team.
Why would you draft him?
I mean, he's got fantasy value.
He's always hurt.
He steals a lot of bases.
Availability is your best ability.
Well, time to cut him. Who should I add instead?
I just had a baseball draft last night that I know I'm not going to take care of for more than a month.
Should I pick up Zach Greinke? Maybe Corey Kluber? Corey Kluber's getting the opening day start for the Red Sox? Goodness.
Really?
Ugh, gross. Going Luis Garcia.
Okay.
Yeah, throwing him in there. But, yeah, man, opening day. Last night was, I'm tired, man. Last night was a long night.
Was it? Long day at work?
The old restaurant, yeah. The old work night was a very long one. I don't know what it is, but people were acting a fool last night.
Something in the air, maybe. I don't know.
Spring fever? I don't know. But, like,
nice day.
And we had one guy, like, walk outside and, like, pass out across the street and
nice.
The steps of, like, a different place. We had someone just, like, casually walk outside onto the patio and just start throwing up. Don't even know where it came from. Someone else throwing up upstairs. A little scuffle broke out. someone throwing bottles off the roof. I had to go, like, find somebody. I got to be a detective last night.
I think Euros was there.
Yeah, he always is.
He loves it.
But, yeah, I had to go be a detective and, like, find a guy that threw a bottle off the roof. So that was kind of fun.
Would you just, like, randomly chose a guy in the vicinity of where it was thrown, or do you have to go back to the cameras?
So I was downstairs on the patio when the bottle came flying from the rooftop, and it landed within 3 inches of a woman.
Wow.
Like, would have severely injured her.
Yeah.
You can see the spot where it hit, and it hit, like,
just next
pretty
to
much
chair.
Underneath her chair.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
So I was out there,
it's a little
and
freaky.
I was talking to a table, and I just, like, set my, like, whatever down, and just, like, I'll be right back. I got to go take care of that. And just went straight up the stairs, ran up there, looked out, and there's a crowd of, like, hundreds of people all just mushed together. I'd fought through the crowd, and I just went, like, over to the general direction, and I started threatening people, basically.
Gotta lay down the law.
The guy that it was, too, he looked at me, he's like, I don't even drink wine, bro. I'm drinking effing beer. And I was like, yeah, that's not what I asked.
That's if you threw the bottle, buddy.
Yeah, but I ended up finding out it was that guy. His best friend in the same fraternity as him also threw a bottle off the roof the week before and got banned. But that guy gave me a lot of attitude,
mm-hmm.
too, as I was throwing him out. So I found his Instagram and his first and last name, and he has been officially added to never allow to step foot in the restaurant again.
Nice.
List.
Nice.
Yeah, I was excited about that.
Nice.
But yeah, people were acting a fool. I, like last night, I also had just three people just not tip me on like decent sized checks. So that was disappointing.
Yeah, some...
Just didn't. That's it's not like they even wrote zero. They just people just sometimes are just like careless and just don't even look at their check.
Yeah, they just sign and don't think that there's something else there to.
But I also just like
write down.
I had someone instead of leaving me a tip, leave me a pamphlet, and it's got to be for a cult.
Really?
Like it has to be. Let me just read. I took a picture of it. Yeah. I'll read it to you.
You didn't keep the pamphlet?
No, I kept the pamphlet too. I might actually go to a meeting just because I do find it to be somewhat interesting. So the picture on the top of the pamphlet is what looks to be like a Yorkie
mm-hmm.
reading a book.
Sounds pretty good.
And the book says, Animals Are Soul Too. And it's got like little like weird pictures on the front of the book. And it's like someone holding this book open for the dog to read. You ready for this blurb?
Yeah.
God loves through animals. Let them open your heart. Do you have a special bond with your animal companion? Do they have a mission? Do they go to heaven? Do you see them in your dreams? Animals are soul too. Which I mean, the English doesn't even like really match up super well on this thing. Join us to share your personal experiences and learn more about the defined nature of your love through relationships with our furred, feathered, and scaled companions. Soul to soul connection. What if your animal companions taught you? Zoom meetings Thursdays at 6:30 p.m. Central, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. The Knoxville Spiritual Experiences Group Meetup. This is
that
just
seems
a bunch
pretty
of crazy
pointless,
people.
I'm not going to lie.
What?
That seems pretty pointless. Like, I don't think you need to...
No, I mean, like, this is a cult.
Yeah, like, I think everyone knows what kind of connection they have with, like, their pet. Like, I don't think anyone needs to tell them that their pet has a connection to them, you know?
But, like, what are our pet's mission? Do they believe that, like, God has given our pets missions? Is that what they're saying?
I mean, they just think that, like, a pet has a soul, which doesn't really seem like breaking news to me.
And then it's just, like, check out more at www.animalsaresoul.blog.
Animals are soul?
Yeah, I mean, the English in this entire thing was broken, like, throughout it.
Yeah, did they have a word count on this pamphlet that they needed
know.
To
like,
hit, and they had to just,
like... it was
like,
more expensive to add some more words? Yeah.
Like, does your pet have a soul or whatever? They just went, does your pet have soul? I think they were a couple letters short.
I mean, maybe they were getting charged by the character to print these things. I don't know.
Maybe it was like bleeding over. Like one more letter was just like ruining the spacing of the whole pamphlet, so they just had to knock out a couple A's.
But no, I mean, if anyone knows anything though about this cult, the Knoxville Spiritual Experiences Group,
yeah,
love to know more.
There's no way that that's about actual pets. Once you,
but
get
no,
there.
No. Here's how we know it's a cult though. At the very bottom of this pamphlet, small writing, it says, presented by the Tennessee Satsang Society Incorporated, don't know what that is, a chartered affiliate of, and then this word is just in all caps, Ekankar, E-C-K-A-N-K-A-R. So then,
E-C-K-N?
Yeah. So then K-A-R? I had to do some research there. It is a cult. It's, pardon me, a new religious movement.
Yeah, I'm on their website right now.
It was founded in Chanhassen, Minnesota. It's not affiliated with any other religious group. It's completely their own thing. Like, they're not a branch off of anything. It says that they were influenced by Dharma.
I think we should go to one of these, Charlie. This looks funny.
I mean, it's hilarious.
Experience the sound of the soul.
Are you looking at this?
I'm on their website, man.
The books are weird too.
Yeah,
there's a lot of weird books that have been written by this guy.
All right, here's the Animals Are Soul blog.
Yeah. What's it say? Is it more the same?
Well, there's just multiple. There's like, it's like a blog almost. The top blog, a Hungarian street dog finds love. Good for him.
They're all, the main purpose of this cult is to experience who? H-U is what they're looking for. Divine sound course. Trying to align their soul with higher states of love, creativity, healing, and awareness.
I mean, this is a bizarre website.
And how did this end up on a random Wednesday night in Knoxville on one of my tables? Did someone else just get that pamphlet and they left it for me?
No, I think
someone,
they were definitely trying to recruit
you. Is
someone
a member of this and they're looking to recruit? Do I come off as a guy that wants to join weird, like, animal cults?
You might.
Soul cults? Everything about this weird, man. I'm looking at the pictures of the people, weird people, weird beliefs. It's weird. Very weird. And just, again, why would I want that as a tip instead of money? You know, you're going to come in and spend $57 at one of my tables and then just be like, hey, animals have souls. That's your tip. Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. You the man. Like, that no better way to give off the fact that, you know, no better way to recruit someone to your cult than by not giving them a tip.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sends a great message about what you're up to. Very, very weird. But I might go to this Zoom meeting.
Yeah, I think you should drop in.
I kind of do. Like, I mean, maybe they are onto something. Maybe I am the kind of guy.
Maybe question
their
beliefs.
Is that how it starts, right?
Bit.
I just go to like two Zoom meetings to make fun of them, and then like 7 months later, I'm moving to Chanhassen, Minnesota.
Probably. That's probably that is how it's going to go down.
But I will. I will go to. Maybe I'll even like secretly record it. Do some investigative reporting.
Do it.
All right, we'll catch a break. It's opening day. Let's get into it on the other side. We got lineups. Braves have Sean Murphy hitting fifth in his Braves debut.
Let's go.
Marcell Ozuna hitting sixth. It's going to go Acuna, Olsen, Riley, Albies, Sean Murphy, Marcell Ozuna, Michael Harris, Travis d'Arnaud, and Orlando Arcia.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
That is the starting lineup. the Nationals starting lineup for those that care, which I think is just me. Try not to wince too hard when I read this. Lane Thomas leading off. Shout out Knoxville. Joey Meneses in the three hole. He almost hit 200 last year. Came real close. Jameer Candelario.
Let's go. Hey, he's going to have a big 2023.
Yeah. Overweight, zero tool player that we got from the Detroit Tigers to start at third.
Zero tool player. So
that's what they're calling him. At least he's a switch hitter. to follow that up, though, don't worry. We got Dominic Smith at first, hitting fourth. Then Kiebert Ruiz. Then Alex Call. Luis Garcia, Victor Robles, and CJ Abrams. Yeah, you know, why not? Why not put our three best prospects hitting 7, 8, 9? Those guys don't need at-bats.
Why is CJ Abrams batting ninth?
I don't know, man.
That was like a top Padres prospect.
We do this all the time, dude. We had when Victor Robles was still considered a top prospect instead of just a guy that hasn't figured it out yet, it would always drive me crazy because he would hit like ninth or eighth. He would hit in behind the catcher and in front of the pitcher. And he would struggle, sure, but it was also like, guys, we're putting our best prospect, you know, or one of our best prospects in the very bottom of the order where he has zero protection behind him and probably no one on base in front of him. Like, you're screwing him over.
I don't understand this from the Nats, to be honest, Charlie.
The worst thing about the World Series win, which, you know, there aren't really many bad things about winning World Series. It was the best singular moment of my entire life. But the one bad thing about winning a World Series, and I think there may be some Braves fans that feel this way too about their coach, but for the Nationals, it made everyone think that Davey Martinez wasn't a terrible manager.
I'm feeling just fine about Snicker, so.
I don't know how, I didn't know how you feel about it. I know a lot of Braves fans complain about Snicker relentlessly. Especially, like, callers of this station and listeners and, like, some people at this station. So I don't really know how the Braves fans actually, like, as a whole feel about Snicker. I just know I've heard a lot of complaints about him. But, like, Davey Martinez, the Nationals manager, I'll give him credit. Like, he's a great players coach. The players love him. Like, he's a good leader, I guess. But, man, that guy is a terrible, terrible manager, man. It drives me crazy. And, yeah, again, he, like, won a World Series. So, you know, he just kind of gets to stay around
for a little bit too long.
He won a World Series, and now he's in a rebuild, so it's like, oh, cool. But, you know, maybe if we had a better manager, we wouldn't have sucked with a good lineup and had to enter into a rebuild in the first place.
Hey. Can't change it now.
Patrick Corbin and Max Fried on the bump for their respective teams.
Yes, sir.
Patrick Corbin led the NL last year with 19 losses. Last opening day starter to draw the assignment after leading the league in losses. Well, Patrick Corbin last season. Before that, though, Matthew Boyd did it in 2021. Of the Tigers, and Sandy Alcantara. He actually did that in 2020.
Yeah, I actually do remember that. Sandy had, like, very solid numbers, but then just with how horrific that Marlins team is, he was just losing all of his starts.
The problem, though, is, like, those guys, like you said, were on bad teams. And, like, put up some decent numbers, and they just had more losses just because they had, like, the staying power, basically, to just head the top of that rotation and consistently, like, pitch to results. But Patrick Corbin is just bad.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's not much around that one.
I mean, he had a 6.31 ERA last year. He has statistically been the worst starting pitcher in baseball for the last two seasons. And somehow he's just still our opening day starter. I don't know how. Why? Why, man?
Can we get some pitching pros? Where are these Nats pitching
behind
prospects?
Them in the rotation? Like we were gonna call three of them up this year: Mackenzie Gore, Josiah Gray, Kate Gavalli. We're all supposed to be in it. Kate Gavalli is like your top arm in terms of prospects, and he tore his UCL in spring training. So now it's just Mackenzie Gore and Josiah Gray. But like Josiah Gray is coming off of the best spring of his entire life, and he's actually been good against the Braves in the last couple of seasons. Like, he has great numbers against the Braves. You think maybe you can finally make the switch and like, hey, Josiah, you know, you want to be our opening day starter? Go for it. I was hoping that could be the case, but it's not. It's just good old Patrick Corbin, which is getting to the point, honestly, I'm starting to respect him.
Yeah, he's just kind of getting his butt kicked day in, day out, and just staying in there.
Which last year he didn't reach the qualified innings to like count towards certain things.
Yeah.
And it was not because he was unhealthy. It was just because he couldn't get past five innings.
He just got pulled in like the third.
Yeah, like he just wasn't pitching deep enough into games. He like, I think he missed a very brief stint in the last part of the season. But there's a really nice article the other day in The Athletic about Patrick Corbin, about how everyone just like respects him so much because, I mean, it's got to be tough. Like, he was a really good pitcher, and then it just all kind of fell apart for him. Like, the Nats didn't win a World Series in 2019 without him. You know, he went from shutting down the Astros for three innings in crunch time in Game 7 to being the worst pitcher in the NL very quickly. But he's made some tweaks this offseason. You know, he's tried to simplify things, get back to just his slider fastball. You know, he's tried to add too much in the last couple of years, tried to add pitches, change his approach up. They think it's been working a little bit better.
Okay.
He did just get hit around by the Astros last week.
It can't get worse,
can
it?
But he's also had some good spring training starts. So I'm thinking, yeah, maybe it can't get worse.
I mean, he's been the worst statistical pitcher in the league the last 2 years. I don't think he can get worse than where he's at. Like,
I don't think he'll be the worst this year. I think he'll be close, but I don't think he'll be the worst. But, I mean, they say that he is the ultimate teammate, like the ultimate hard worker, never once complains about any, like, kind of any muscle strain or tries to, you know, hide from his poor performances with, like, a minor stint on the IL or any of that. Yeah, they said that he's great, like, trying to teach the younger guys and like be a mentor to them, which I don't know. Do we really need him teaching our younger guys? Can we maybe keep him away from Mackenzie Gore? I don't like Mackenzie. Like he had some of our younger prospects living in his guest house.
Okay.
At spring training, and he would.
I mean, I like that.
Feed him meals, and they would eat with him and his wife, and like he would give them advice.
Hopefully, there's just another veteran pitcher on that staff who is like coming in, letting them go to dinner with them, and then like the next day once they get to the field, like, hey, don't listen to anything Patrick told you last night.
Yeah.
Like, just do the opposite of what he said.
You know, if
pulls up his splits for the last 2 years, like, do you really want to take advice from this guy?
Like, he can be a good mentor and, like, how to handle maybe pressure.
How to handle adversity.
Adversity. You know, if he tries to tell you about pitch sequencing or scouting reports, maybe lay off. But I don't know. I mean, we've tried hard to, like, change some things up. I have more optimism this year than I did last year, because I don't think it'll be worse. It's hard to be worse. I don't think it'll be a lot better, but
give me your over under on the Nationals win total this year.
I mean, I think Vegas set it in the 50s.
Okay. Do you agree with Vegas? That's kind of what I'm saying. Does your win total match up with Vegas's win total?
I don't know if we're going to win a lot more games. I think the change is going to be like run differential. Like, the Nats were minus several hundred runs last year.
We're just not getting blown out as much.
I think they're going to not get blown out. For as weird as bad as last year was, like, weirdly, the Nationals bullpen was really good. So I don't think the starting pitching can be any worse now with Mackenzie Gore and like Josiah Gray and you know who our fifth starter is now? Chad Kuhl. Yeah, we're going our fourth
and fifth
starters.
Why is he not the opening day starter?
Our fourth and fifth starters are Trevor Williams and Chad Kuhl.
I like it.
I don't. So, like, yeah, I mean, I think we're just going to play closer games, but maybe not win a lot more. We're at over 59.5, though, over-under. I'm going to take the over.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's your I needed to talk briefly about the Nationals on opening day, so that's what you guys got subjected to there. If you didn't like it, I'm sorry. I needed to get it off my chest, just do a brief Nats talk.
Gotta
those Braves
somewhere.
Fans listening, though, don't worry about today. if you already probably shouldn't be worried about today, but if you were, you probably shouldn't be worried about today. Patrick Corbin has not beat the Braves in about 4 years.
That's a good stat. That's a good stat.
Yeah, and you might be thinking, well, you know, it's baseball. Like, how often does he really face the Braves? Well, he's faced them 9 times since then. It's like a decent amount. In those 9 starts, 0-8 with an ERA over 8.
Mm.
So, I don't know.
I know what my best bet is.
I'm not betting against the Nationals, but you probably should.
Yeah, I know what my best bet is.
Even maybe on the run line, even maybe like -2.5 or like -3.5. Like,
yeah, I'm gonna do a
take
big
the team
alternate.
Total over, like hammer it all. We're not good. Let's catch a break though. I want to hear your Braves thoughts on the other side. Give me a little Braves preview. All right, Samuel. Braves opening day, I think our listener base, primarily Braves fans. All having to hit the road today, but this offseason for the Braves, correct me if I'm wrong, it felt, I don't know, it didn't feel like it was monumental necessarily. I mean, you'd went and got Sean Murphy, and like you added to your bullpen, correct? But
a little bit, yeah.
I guess maybe just with everything else that was happening in the NL East, like it felt like to me the Braves kind of made some really high quality moves, but it just flew under the radar relative to like the Mets and the Phillies and everyone else. But you know, now you look at this Mets team, which they're the Mets first of all, so they're going to Met this thing up,
right?
But Edwin Diaz now out for the year. You know, Brandon Nimmo got hurt, sliding back into second. Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander. That's a very very, very good 1-2, but, you know, I don't know if either of them are really going to be able to stay healthy for an entire year. The Mets basically have a great collection of talent that's all 30 to 40-year-old men.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, man, I don't know if that's going to last 162 games. And then the Phillies maybe were the favorite, you know, coming off of a World Series berth, Trey Turner looking amazing in the WBC, but you know, Bryce Harper, Tommy John surgery, he's out till at least July. And Rhys Hoskins Rhys Hoskins.
Correct.
Just tore his ACL.
ACL, yeah.
He's right? Out for ACL, the year. PCL, ACL.
ACL.
Out for the year. You also wonder with the Phillies, that defense still not very good. You know, it seemed like they were fortunate at times to kind of put it together with their pitching staff. Like, will they be able to repeat that again? To me, it feels like the Braves are the team to beat in the NL East. It feels like they are set up once again to win this division, despite being the team that maybe hasn't generated as much buzz as the other two powers in the division.
Yeah, I definitely think some teams in the division for sure have had a little bit more flashy of an offseason. And you know, this Braves team didn't have a whole lot to replace. Obviously, I would say a big headline kind of just coming into opening day would be how they're going to replace Dansby Swanson. Obviously, that's kind of your real only big loss from that lineup last year. But you've got some guys in the system that can come up there. Obviously, we sent down Vaughn Grissom and Brandon Shoemake to start the season. We're rolling with Orlando Arcia at shortstop to start off the year, but I think probably sooner than later you see Vaughn Grissom getting called back up, and you see him and Arcia probably splitting time at shortstop a little bit.
Yeah, walk me through this. Why why did Vaughn Grissom not make the opening day roster? I mean, from an outsider's perspective, I just kind of anticipated that, you know, he was penciled in. It's like, all right, he's your shortstop of the future now. Dansby Swanson, you let him go. Here's your everyday guy.
Yeah, I was a little surprised by it as well when I saw the move. I think probably just age. I think he's still just a little young. He's still got a very talented hitter, obviously, but he's still got to work a little bit in the field, I think. I think that's probably mainly where they're kind of starting him off there. We have Ari Adrianza kind of as our utility guy. I think just plays a couple more positions than Vaughn does. So I think that's kind of the main reason why he's starting off down in Gwinnett. But I would say that he's probably back in Atlanta within probably a month or two. If he plays well at the start of the season in AAA, I think they don't hesitate to bring him back up. But other than that, man, I just love the way that this lineup is created. You've got your pitching coming back this year. Kyle Wright starting off a little bit banged up, but man, what I'm really looking forward to is kind of a potential X factor for the Braves this season is getting Mike Soroka back. He was one of the best young pitchers in the league. Obviously has had some really, really tough luck with injuries, had that Achilles tear, and then basically once he was, getting back towards it, probably 70-80% of the way recovered from it, suffered a setback and, tore it again. So he's coming back, but man, his stuff is unbelievable. And if you throw in Mike Soroka into this rotation already with Max Fried, Spencer Strider, Charlie Morton, you'll get Kyle Wright back. That becomes, one of the deepest pitching rotations in the league. Bullpen is a little bit shaky, I would say. There's a couple guys in there that can give you some quality innings, but I think the bullpen is definitely something to look out for. And then I would say the biggest glaring need might be that left field spot. Obviously, today, the Braves are rolling with Marcell Ozuna. Me, personally, I am one of the biggest Marcell Ozuna haters out there. I'm not a big fan of him. Don't think he provides much value to our team anymore. I would probably rather see us roll out there with Eddie Rosario in left field, maybe, and then just play both catchers there. Play Darnot at a designated hitter or Sean Murphy. It doesn't really matter. I think you can swap either one of them. And then, every once in a while, I think you could throw Marcell into that DH spot. But I'm excited to see us get going, man. This should be a really good season. Matt Olson has been real hot in spring training. Michael Harris has had a good spring training. It's just good to – Acuna, good to see him back and healthy, obviously. With him having a full, healthy season, hopefully he can turn in an MVP-type season.
Yeah, I'm picking the Braves to win the division. What about Dylan Dodd and Jared Schuster? Those two left-handed pitchers that came into spring training, seemingly no chance of making the opening day roster, and given some of the injuries, given what the Braves rotation looks like, both of those guys presumably going to make a start now opening week. Those fourth and five pitchers. Schuster's going to get the third game, actually. Dodd, he's going to be activated and get a turn in game five. Schuster was, I believe, under 1.5 with the ERA in spring.
Mm-hmm.
Just four walks all spring, and Dodd was at a 2 ERA. With 20 Ks and 18 innings. Do you think either of those guys factor into long-term plans like this or at least this season?
I think you definitely see Schuster maybe stick around this season. Just a valuable lefty that we've got. Young guy as well.
It's not fair that you guys just have these rookies just randomly show up and just be really good.
We're fizzling out. Just wait. We're not fizzling out, but we got to reset the farm system a little bit. We've obviously hit on so many prospects in the last couple of years, and now they're up in our system
farm
playing.
System is 29.
Yeah. Like a lot of our guys have kind of made it up to the league. We've traded a couple prospects to get some better guys. So Schuster and Dodd are kind of those two pitching prospects that are kind of the last couple guys to have cycled through here. So I'm excited to see them get a shot. Presumably, you know, at the start of the year, they'll get a chance in the starting rotation with just a couple injuries we've got. And then I expect to see them slide back into the bullpen and provide some good depth for us.
What's the deal with Ian Anderson, by the way?
He's just up and down, man. Just kind of consistency is his biggest issue.
I just remember thinking that he was going to be really good.
And I did too.
He's just not even on the active roster.
Yeah, he got sent down to AAA to start the year. Just one of those guys that has so much potential that you just want him to be so good, and then he just can't stay up here long enough, can't stay consistent. So we'll see where he goes, but yeah, I mean, I could see him being maybe a potential trade item, you know, towards the trade deadline or something like that, if he doesn't get going.
Yeah, my guy One in Stripes just DM'd me. He said one of those two rookie pitchers will probably succeed and then be signed to a long-term deal well below market value. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, he'll probably have a real nice season.
I'm fully expecting, like,
sign him to a 12-year deal for like $30 million.
I'm fully expecting Dodd to finish like fifth in MVP voting and then immediately announce he's signing a 12-year, $11 million deal.
I'm looking for the next lifetime contract in the Braves. You know, like one of those where it's like I'm gonna be a Brave for life, and then you can just decide what you pay me every year based on, you know, payroll needs and everything.
We actually, I was so proud of the Nationals this offseason.
Yeah, y'all pulled the Braves contract out.
We pulled an Alex Anthopoulos, the best GM in baseball. We signed Keibert Ruiz to like an 8-year, $56 million deal. I was like, oh my gosh, look, we signed an up and like a promising young player to a deal below market value for a long time. Look at us go! It's like we learned something. I wish we could have done that with, I don't know, Trey Turner or Juan Soto or maybe even Victor Robles or any of those guys, instead of letting them get close to their contract running out and then trading them away and making me cry lots of tears. But hey, at least maybe we're learning. Who's the Braves MVP this year?
You know, it's hard to not say Acuna there, but man, I hope he stays hot. I hope he stays hot. But Matt Olson was playing some unbelievable baseball in spring training. You've seen him, how good he was down in Oakland. Last year he had a good season, just, you know, he got hot later, kind of started off cold, probably, you know, just coming into a new system, getting used to everything. So with the year under his belt in Atlanta, I'm really looking at Matt Olson as that difference maker in Atlanta.
I also think it's going to be Matt Olson. First of all, his spring has been unbelievable.
Unreal,
like you were saying.
Dude. Unreal.
Unbelievable. I was talking with someone about it earlier. I mean, he was 426 this spring.
Yeah, I think he hit like 9 homers and had 18 or 19 RBIs.
His OPS was 1.509 in 55 plate appearances. Yeah, and he had 8 homers.
That's wild.
Which I was about to bring this up, but yeah, someone just DM'd me this too. He faced shifts 81% of his plate appearances last season. He lost a lot of potential hits on like hard grounders, liners to the right side. When you talk about the shift and who this is going to help most in baseball, yeah, I think people jump to you know, your heavy shift guys like your Joey Gallo's, like those type players. But like Matt Olson has been incredibly successful despite the fact that he's losing like 1 to 2 hits a week to the shift, minimum. You know, sometimes more than that. So that's what, 25, 30 more hits this year for Matt Olson without a shift?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm going to take him a flyer on him to win the MVP outright.
Really?
I mean, again, I just think the value is going to be really good. I haven't looked at his exact pricing, but like I think the value is going to be so good. Because again, you know, you think about the shift, you think about the spring he's had, you think about him now settling into this Braves organization. It's killing me right now to talk about how great the Braves are, but they really are.
Yeah.
You know, I think to me, probably the best value World Series bet out there too. The Braves are right now in terms of value. You know, are the Braves better than the Padres or the Dodgers? Maybe, maybe not. Probably not, but maybe. Maybe the Dodgers. I think people haven't really realized that the Dodgers are like kind of not exactly as good as they always are. Still really good, but you know, they did whiff on a couple of guys they went after. Trey Turner left. Dustin May is hurt, I believe. You know, Clayton Kershaw is just old. Dodgers might be due for a step back, which what's a step back?
You know, like 95 wins.
Yeah, I mean, if they win 15 less games, they're still maybe winning their division. So, I don't know. I do really like this Braves team, though.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing maybe is that just with the NL East being so good overall, I think the Braves kind of, and you know, for like a betting wise, for a World Series type bet or something like that, I think they do get lost in the mix a little bit just because there are other teams like the Mets and the Phillies that are such a popular pick for things like that as well. So I think when you've got three teams that are contenders for a title in the same, you know, in the same division, like you can get some good value out of one of those teams.
Who do we think is the best division in the National League? Is it the NL East or is it the NL West? I mean, the Dodgers and Padres both have a case to be the best team in baseball from a record perspective.
Right.
You know, the San Francisco Giants, you know, they're always relevant. They're always just kind of finding a way. I don't know if they're going to be great this year. I think that there's a lot to answer for them. You know, maybe they'll actually pull off one of those mid-season blockbuster trades they've been going after for a couple of years. But it felt like they just couldn't quite bring this offseason together the way they wanted to, the way they tried to. Still don't like love Logan Webb as you know, I like Logan Webb a lot, but like the way that he's going to have to carry that pitching staff, I'm not big on the Giants, but you know, I think the Rockies are a tougher team than maybe people realize. It's always tough to at least play there. And I think the Diamondbacks are really a team that people are sleeping on. They have some quality pitching. You know, they have some bats now that have really started to make their way up. Like, it's Corbin Carroll's year now to finally get to play. A couple of, like, low-key signings. They went and got Gurriel Jr. They went and got Kyle Lewis.
Shout out Alec Thomas, one of my roommates, like, grew up with this kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Gabriel Moreno had a great spring. I think I lean the NL. I don't know. I mean, it's.
I think they're very similar in that they have three very solid teams, and then you have two that are kind of scrappy bottom of the barrel teams a little bit.
I'll give the edge to the NL East. The Nationals, yeah, they're worse than anything the NL West has to offer, but. I mean, the NL East second worst team has the reigning Cy Young winner.
Yeah.
A bunch of good prospects that like will maybe actually be allowed to play this year. You know, maybe the Marlins will actually make some smart moves. They went and traded for
Luis Urias.
Yeah, Urias lately who, I mean, he tore up the WBC. That pitching staff should be good. Like, Jazz Chisholm, so much fun. I don't know. I think the Marlins could be a playoff team this year.
Really?
I mean, I think the NL East could get four playoff teams.
I think I don't know if I'm quite as in on a playoff team from the Marlins, but I could see them kind of overachieving based on what they're projected to do this season. I could see them winning, you know, maybe 75, 80 games, maybe?
I think they win more than 80.
More than 80?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
I do. I mean, I think they're like right around 500.
It'll be interesting.
So, yeah, who are you leaning, NL East, NL West?
I think probably the NL East. I think it's very close, though. I think it's almost interchangeable. But yeah, I do kind of agree with you. I think the Nats are worse than anyone out of the Diamondbacks or the Rockies, and I would say the Marlins are definitely probably in a 7-game series. I'm taking the Marlins over the Rockies or the Diamondbacks as well.
So we're both on board with the NL East?
Yeah, I think so.
Best division in baseball? Maybe. Probably not. The AL East has a pretty good argument too. Yeah. But it's hour one. Hour one's coming to a close. Hour two's on deck. On deck, it feels a little bit more relevant on a day like today. But we'll continue talking the MLB season. We'll get our official predictions, award predictions, sleepers to look out for, all that coming up next in hour two on the Blitz.